Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the upper part of Daf Ches, 4 lines from the top. Omar Rav Popo. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let us note that we have a topic heading under the heading No Say on the margin, in the margin, the outside margin. It says Kocho v'koach kocho. We're going to talk about the causing a death of an individual through direct force and through secondary force. Omar Rav Popo, man deshoda pisa ledikla, one who threw a clump of earth, a clump of dirt, ledikla, to a palm tree, the osar tamri, and the clump of earth that I threw hit a cluster of dates, the ozel tamri, the kotel, and the tamri, the dates, fell and killed somebody. Bonu lemachlukis de Rebbe v'Rabbanan. The resolution of such a case is dependent on the controversy between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, we saw that there would be golus by virtue of the piece of wood that was cast or ejected from the tree when I hit it with the axe. So the parallel would be the axe hitting the wood and the wood killing somebody. And the case with the dates is the parallel to the axe would be the clod of earth. The axe, remember, hit the wood. The clod of earth hits the dates. There in the Mishnah, the wood kill someone. Here, the dates kill someone. So according to Rebbe, this would be a case that's worthy or destined to golus. According to the Rabbanan, this is not golus worthy. So the Gemara says, Pshita, paralleling the case of the clod of earth, Rav Popa, to the Machlokis, Rebbe, and the Rabbanan seems obvious. What is Rav Popa coming to Mechadesh that I couldn't have figured out on my own? Mahu detema, kekoyach koychodomi. One might have thought that the case of the clod of earth is like a secondary force, a derivative force, and therefore there should be exemption. Komash Malon, therefore, Rav Popa comes to tell me that it's not viewed as koach kocho, it's not viewed as a secondary force, but rather as a more direct force of the perpetrator himself. The Tosfos explains, Mahu detema kekoach kochoi domi, veloi domi le'etz hamisbakea. The clod of the earth hitting the dates is not parallel to the wood that's ejected from my chopping it with an axe. Dehosam, in the case of the Mishnah where I'm chopping it with an axe, noga b'mashe b'yodo b'shas hatozas ha'etz. The piece of wood that eventually killed the victim, that piece of wood had been in physical contact with the axe, which was in my hand. I was holding the axe, and therefore the wood that's ejected is considered more directly related to the person chopping. Aval hocha, in the case of the cast clod of earth that was thrown up to the cluster of dates, shekvar yotza miyado b'sha'as hatozas tmorim, that it's already departed from the hands of the at the time that it hit the dates. At the time that the clod of earth hit the dates, there's no more personal or human contact with the clod of earth. Domi shapir l'koach kochol. And as a result of that, that disconnection, it gives the impression as being like a case of koach kochol, of derived force. Emo lo l'chayev. And on those grounds, I would have thought maybe there should be no golos. Komash malon, that's what Rav Popa's chiddush is, that it's not classified as koach kochol. Well, then the question is, then what is koach kochol? That's the Gemara's question now. Ela koach kochol l'rebi hechi mishkachas lo. How does one find that? What is the case of koach kochol according to Rebbe? Kagon, as for example, the shoda pisa, a person threw a clod of earth, umachya l'groma, and the clod of earth hit a branch. The ozo groma umachya l'kavosa, and the branch hit in turn a cluster of dates. The osar tamri, the ozel tamri v'kotel, and the dates fell and went and killed someone. That is the case of koach kochol. In other words, the element that caused the dates to fall, in this case it was the stick, that stick had come into contact with the dirt. And only at that point, at the point of the dirt, do we see the personal element enter. So that's considered further removed from the original thrower of the dirt, and that's called koach kochol. Hazorik even, you'll notice with our markings, we've emphasized in this Mishnah Rishus Rabim and Chotzer. They're two different realms or locations that will have bearing on the halacha of the Mishnah. Hazorek even l'Rishus HaRabim v'horag. Someone threw a stone into Rishus HaRabim and it killed someone. Harezeh goyle. The thrower has to go to the city of refuge. Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, im mikashiyotza sa ho'even miyodo. If after the stone was already in flight, hoitzi haloi esroisha v'kibla, the victim only then put his head out the window of wherever he was, or stuck his head in the way of the flying rock, and his head stopped the rock and he died. Hareza poter, the one who throws the rock under those circumstances, is exempt. Because at the time that he threw the rock, the victim was not there. Zorak esoeven lechatsero v'horag. A person threw a rock into his own domain, into his own chotzer, and it killed someone. Im yesh rishus lanizak likones l'sham, goyle. If the victim had a right to go into the thrower's chotzer, the thrower's yard, then the thrower is guilty, is going to have to go to Ir Mikla. The im lav, if the nizak, the victim, had no right to be there, eino goyla, the thrower is not exiled. Shenemar v'ashir yovo yesreo bayar. That's what the posuk says. He who meets up with his friend in a forest. Just like a forest, it's by its public nature, is such that the victim and the damager have a right to be there. Yotza chotzer balabayas, to the exclusion of the yard owned by the balabayas, by the one throwing the rock. She'ein rishus lanizak likones l'sham. The victim had no right to go into the thrower's yard. Abushol Omer, ma chatovas eitzim rishus, af kol rishus. The pasuk which features a person going into a forest to cut wood, just like the cutting of wood is an optional matter, there's no mitzvah to cut wood, so too the paradigm or the classic case of golus, af kol rishus. So too, all deaths that happen, that take place under optional circumstances. Yotza, to the exclusion of ha'av ha'make esvenoi, a father who strikes his child, and in the case we're dealing with, the child dies accidentally. V'horav horoide es tamido, the rav who chastises his student with corporal means. V'shaliach beisin, he's the person that's assigned by beisin to carry out the 40 lashes. L'rshus harabim, mezinhu, the Gemara asks, how could it be that a person who throws a rock into Rishus HaRabim, he goes to Golus? Throwing a rock into Rishus HaRabim, into a public thoroughfare, is considered premeditated, and as such, he shouldn't deserve Golus. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, the Soser es Koslo. According to Rav Shmuel, the pshat in the Mishnah is not that he threw a rock into a crowd in a public area, but rather he was knocking down his wall, his stone wall. The Gemara asks, but Iboyale Luini, he still should be classified as mazid. He should have looked who was on the other side of that wall where it's going to fall. The Gemara answers, he couldn't have looked because Besosra's Kosla Balayla, he was knocking his wall down at night. The Gemara asks, Balayla Nani Iboyale Luini? If it be at night, he still should have taken some torches and looked and seen what's going on the other side. So the Gemara answers, "Besoser es koslo la'ashpa." He was throwing down his wall into the ashpa, a garbage heap. Hai ashpa hechidami. What's the nature of the garbage heap? E shrichi bo rabim. If it's a place that the public frequents, they go there to the ashpa to relieve themselves, to dump things there. So, poshehu, he's guilty of negligence. We wouldn't send him to Ir Mikla. That's not called shogeg. E lo shrichi bo rabim. If it's a place that's uncommon for the public to be there, he knocked down the wall and he happened to kill somebody. Onesu, it's beyond his control. It's something that's totally unanticipated. The question being, then, why should he be sent to Golus? Omar of Papa, lo tzricha, the case of the Mishnah is necessary. Elola ashpa asuya liponos bo balaylo, v'ein asuya liponos bo bayoim. It's a type of ashpa that people relieve themselves there by at nighttime. They don't relieve themselves there in broad daylight. The Iko de Mikri V'yosiv, but and there are on occasion people that do relieve themselves there by day. Poshea lo have deha eno asuya liponos bayom. To call him a poshea, guilty of negligence, we can't call him that because it's not common for people to be there during the day. Ones nami lo have, to say that what happened here is classified as ones, beyond his control, we're not going to be able to say that either, because da iko de mikri v'yosif, there are those from time to time who do come and sit there to relieve themselves in the ashpa. Rabbi Lezer Miyankiv omer v'chulei tanu rabbanan. Before we go further, let's just recount Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. His comment, it was in the Mishnah, that said that if the rock was in flight, and after it's already in flight, someone stuck their head out and caught and stopped the rock and hence died, there's no golus. And he cited as a source for that, actually, the Gemara itself will now cite the source from the Psukim for that information. Tana Rabbanan, Umotza, Prat Lemamtzi Es Atzmoi. The word that's found in the Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yutes Pasuk Hey. The Pasuk says, Umotza Israel Umeis. The mashmos, the implication of the word umotza, is prat lemamsi es atzmo, to the exclusion of someone who makes himself available. This will be explained. Mikan, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, im mishiotsa ho'even miyodo hotzi alo es rosho, that if after the rock was already in flight, someone made themselves present there, he put his head out the kibla and received the stone in his on his head and died, potter, the thrower is exempt. So what is the basis of this, of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's teaching? The word umotza, which indicates that the head had to be, or the victim had to be there before the murderous action took place. The Maimra, the Gemara asks, the motza equals meikara mashma, that the word umotza implies something that was there at the beginning. In this case, the victim was there before the rock was thrown. Veromini, we're going to now raise a contradiction from a source that would seem to be totally unrelated, but the word umotza appears in the Torah in this other context. And from the way it appears there, we'll see that the word umotza indicates something to the contrary, that it wasn't there, that it was wasn't there at the outset. It's something that happens only later on. Umotza, this is talking about someone who sold his inheritance property. His mochar ste achuzosoi. The Torah makes a provision for someone who sells his inherited property, property that he inherited from his father. The Torah provides that in the event that someone sold, they sold because they were hard pressed for funds, they sold their stay achuza, they can redeem it, so to speak, or buy it back from the purchaser. However, there are restrictions on what funds one may use to buy it back, to force the seller to sell it back to the to force the buyer to sell it back to the original seller. The Torah instructs us that it must be from money that was not there at the outset, but money that he came upon recently. Veromini, umotza. Prat lemotsui, to the exclusion of property that was there in his possession at the time that he sold this particular property that he now wants to buy back. Shelo yimkor berochoik vigol bekorov. The Torah is telling us that he should not sell properties that are far away and get money for them, and with that money, yigol bekorov, redeem the sold property that's nearby. Likewise, bira'a v'yigol b'yofe. He shouldn't sell some poor quality property in order to buy back better quality property. In both of these cases, the rochok and the ra'a are properties that he had at the time that he sold his steyachuza. And as we said, the word umotza means chanced upon now, newly acquired properties. The problem for us is that by saying umotza means chanced upon now, means something of a very recent nature, that's to the contrary of what was said in the source before, that umotza, in the case of the horeg b'shogeg, one will be chayev only if the victim was there from before. So you see the word umotza has the opposite meaning in the previous source. Omar Rava, hocha, one has to look in order to define the word umotza, the context in which it's found. So Rava tells us that you have to look at each context and you'll see the different interpretation based on context. Hosam, in the case of the steyachuza, notice we've underlined hosam and the next line hocha. This is to emphasize the points of answer, of response, or of resolution. Hasam, in the case of the steyachuza, me inyonei dekra. We look at the context. Umotza dumya devihisiga yado. Because in the pasuk that deals with the redemption of Steahuza, it also says vehisigo yodo, and he chances upon her, he acquires funds. Mahisigyodo equals mehasha, just like hisigyodo is a reference to something from right now, that you right now acquired the funds. Af motza nami mehashta. So too the word motza in the context of the steahuza is a reference to something that's fresh, that's from now. Hocha minyone dekra, in the case of the rotzeach b'shogeg and the stone, also we look at the context. Umotza dumya diyar. Ma yar midi di ise mekara. Just like a forest is something that was there before. Af umotza nami midi di ise mekara. So too, the type of victim is someone that was there before the rock was thrown. Hazorik is Evan, and then we saw Abba Shol, and in the Mishnah, we under Abba Shol's name, we saw Av Kol Rishus Yotza Ha'av Hamake V'chulei. The case of Rotzech B'Shogeg must be a retzach, a murder that took place under optional circumstances. But if the murder took place, the death of the victim took place under non-optional circumstances, then there will be no ir miklat. There's no gullus for that. We see in the Gemara a geometric form, a diamond, which draws our attention to the next one. If you're going to be focusing on Daf Ches, Omid Aleph, you're not going to see the next one because it's on Omid Beis. The Nosei, the topic heading for this Gemara is Shitas Abba Shol Ein Golin Al Retzach B'Shogeg Shenigram Ayudei HaKoas Mitzvah. One does not go into exile to the city of refuge in the event that his hitting of the victim was if it was in the context of a mitzvah, so there's no golus. What's an example of a mitzvah? Like a father who hits his son. Under the Mivneh heading, you see the diamond featured. Shtei lishonos hamas shayach divrei hahu me'abonon v'ha de'oisve ravina. Two versions of what the hahu me'abonon says and what Ravina said back to him. Omale hahu me'abonon l'rava. Mimai de Mechatovas Eitzim Dirishus. Who is to say that the Torah that says that there is golos for death that takes place while one's chopping wood, that the Torah is referring to a case of rishus, an optional chopping? Dilma mechatovas eitzim de sukkah, mechatovas eitzim de marocha. Maybe the Torah is talking about someone who's chopping wood for the purpose of building a sukkah, or for the purpose of throwing into the fire on the mizbeach. V'afilu hachi amar rachmana legally, and even though it's mitzvah oriented, there still is exile for the perpetrator. Amar lei, so Rava answers, and we notice we have a little one written in because this will be the first of Rava's answers. A few lines later, the Gemara will present Rava again, Hodar Amar Rava, and we're going to call that number two. So the question is, how do we know when the Torah says there's golus for the chopping of wood, that it's talking about chopping of wood that's of an optional nature, not of a mitzvah nature? Answer, Amar Lei, Rava says, Kevon di'im motza chotuv lav mitzvah, since if a person would find already chopped wood, let's say already chopped, and he could just use it, he could build it into a sukkah right now, or it's already chopped, and if it's a question of the wood for the ma'arocha, there it is, the already chopped wood is also good. In other words, there's no mitzvah in the action of chopping wood. So let's read this again. Omar lei kemo di imotza chotuv lav mitzvah, hashanami lav mitzvah. Just like in the case of the chopping of wood, if he would find chopped wood, he wouldn't have to do the act of chopping. Therefore, it comes out there's no mitzius of chatovas eitzim that we could classify as a mitzvah. The standard being, in order to classify as a mitzvah, the standard being, what would be if you found already chopped stuff? Eisvei ravino l'rava. Yotso av hamake ezbenoi v'harav horoides hamido u'shliach beizdin. These people do not go to Golus. Lame, or why not say, Kevon de ilu gomir lav mitzvah, hashtanami lav mitzvah. Since if the son was learned, there would be no mitzvah to hit him. So too, right now, there's no mitzvah. Using the idea we saw before that if in potential there's no need for it, so that action becomes classified across the boards as being non-mitzvah. Why then over here, when it comes to striking one's son, does not? How is it that there could be a mitzvah in that? Is it not so that if he were learned, there would be no heter to hit one's son? Therefore, hitting one's son across the boards becomes a non. We can't classify it as a mitzvah. The Gemara answers a surprising answer. Hosam, in the case of a child. Afagav de Gomer, even if he is learned, mitzvah. There still is a mitzvah to hit the child. Dechtiv yisar bincho v'yanichecho v'yiten ma'adonim la'afshecho. That one is expected to chastise even a son that's learned. Hodom arova lav milsahi de'amri. And Rava turns around and says, that which I said is to be rejected. I want to prove what I say from the pasuk itself. Vasher yavo es re'eu bayar. That's the pasuk by Yirmiklah. An inadvertent murder took place in a forest. The e boy ayel, the e boy lo ayel. In the case of going into the forest, it's a place that if you want to go, you can go. If you don't want to go, don't go. The e salka daitoch mitzvah. If one were to think that the Torah was talking about an action involving a mitzvah, misagya delo ayel, would it be possible for him to not go in? How could you phrase the situation as e boy lo ayel? There would be no option if it were a mitzvah. He would have to go. Amale Rav Ado bar Ahavo le Rava. Kol hecho dechtiv asher equals the e boy who, and wherever you see the word asher, does that mean optional? Like we saw asher yovo as Rabbi Yair, it's an optional situation to go into the forest. So does the word asher have to mean? Does it always mean optional? Elo me'ato. Notice with the markings we have a trapezoid form. And on the side, we've indicated that this is a ma'akav. It's an attempt to keep track. And with the narrower part facing up, these are kushios. With the narrower part facing down, those would be tshuvos, answers. The last point the Gemara made concerns the word asher. Does the word asher create a sense of option? Person who goes into the mikdash in a state of tumah, he is chayav kores. Now, in this same pasuk, we have the expression asher yitma. Are we to understand this e boy mitame, e boy lo mitame, that the Torah is addressing people that had the option to be metame and people that did not have the option? Meis mitzvah de lo sagi lo metame och inami de poter. if a person, let's say, was involved with the burial of a meis mitzvah, that's not an optional thing. Are you going to tell me that he would be, if he, after he buries the meis mitzvah, he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, that he would be would you tell me that he's potter? Of course not. A person who was involved with a meis mitzvah, even though it's not optional, it's obligatory, that doesn't necessarily give one license to, after having contact with the meis mitzvah, to go into the Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see from here? We see that the word asher isn't a word indicating option. The Gemara says, in general, the word asher might, yes, indicate option. Shiny hosam, the case involving the Tumas Mikdash is different. The Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, Tome Yiyeh, Mikomakom, that there is a penalty of Kores for anyone who is Tomei, no matter what the circumstances that led up to it were. The Gemara asks, Ahu mivoy le'elich l'sanya, but I need the expression Tomei Yiyeh for the following teaching. Tomei Yiyeh l'rabo is tvuyom, that a tvuyom, a person who went to mikveh, and it's before the sundown, if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he is chayav. If he does it b'shogeg, he's chayav a korban. If he does it b'mezid, he's chayav koreis. Tumosoi boy, the rabbis mechusar kippurim. Likewise, someone who is obligated to bring a korban at the end of his tumah period, if prior to his bringing of the korban he enters the Beis HaMikdash, he is considered guilty. That's called a mechusar kippurim. So we see that the posuk of Tomei Yiyeh is used up for something else. It's not available to include the case of a person who was involved with a meis mitzvah and that nevertheless he's chayav for entering the Beis HaMikdash. So he answers, I'm basing my limud that a person who is involved with a meis mitzvah will be guilty if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. That's from the word oid, which is an extra word in the pasuk ko amina. Based on that leads me to saying what I do.
Let us glance at the Rashi, four lines from the top. Me oid ko amino. Oid tum osoi boi. The pasuk says that, and Rashi points out, oid, the word oid, kro yisera, is an extra word, the droshahu, for discovering this particular point. And that is that even if one is involved with the burial of a meis mitzvah, but nevertheless enters the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, he is guilty. With our markings, we now see the second version of the presentation of the Hahu Mirabbanan. The second version begins here, Iko Damasni Law, and we've squiggle underlined it as we do when you see alternative Lishonos. The second diamond, though, appears where the Hahu Mirabbanan appears later, a few lines down. So there are those that say that the Hahu Mirabbanan's comment is going on this source. Bechoresh uvechotzer tishbos. Choresh is plowing and kotzer harvesting. One shall refrain, tishbos. We have in this source a machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, concerning what time period is this pasuk referring. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's referring to the Shemitah year, Tishbos, like the Pasuk says, Shnas Shaboson, a year of rest for the land. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's referring to Shabbos Mamish, the Sabbath day. So Rabbi Akiva understands the Pasuk as follows. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Tzorch Lomar Choresh Shel Shvius V'Kosser Shel Shvius,
I don't need this pasuk to tell me that one is restricted from agricultural activities during the Shemitah year. Sheharei kvar ne'amar, there's another pasuk that indicates those restrictions. Sadech alo yisizra v'charmach alo sizmor. That you shall not plant your fields nor prune your vineyards. Ela, so what's the role of v'chorer shuchazer tishbos? Afilu chorer shel erev shvias, shenichnas l'shvias. Even the harisha done before the Shemitah year. This is called Tosefes Shvias. One is to refrain from it. The Kotzir Shel Shvias Sheyotza L'Motzoi Shvias, or the harvesting of grains that grew a third during the Shemitah year, since after growing a third, they're Roy for Ktzira. Therefore, when one does come to harvest them after the Shemitah year, they're treated with Kedusha Shvias. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, and the truth is that as far as this sugi is concerned, Rabbi Shmuel's shita, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is more central. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ma Choresh Rishus, just like Harisha on Shabbos is an optional activity and it's prohibited, Af Kotzir Rishus, so too, that type of katsira, which is of an optional nature, is likewise prohibited on the Sabbath day. Yotze ksira omer, to the exclusion of the harvesting of the grains for the omer korban, this is a grain offering that is brought on the 16th of Nisan, and part of the mitzvah there is to harvest the grains l'shem the omer. And therefore, if the time for bringing the Omer comes out on a Shabbos, one will in fact harvest those grains necessary for the Omer on Shabbos. That's what this means. Yotze Ktzira Omer Shehu Mitzvah. Amar Le'ehum Rabbanan L'Rava. Mimai D'Harisha D'Rishus. Who is to say that the harisha that's featured in the pasuk b'chor shuvchatzir tishbos is talking about an optional type of plowing? Dilmo harishas oimer de mitzvah. Maybe it's referring to the plowing for the omer. The omer is a mitzvah. V'afilu hochiyam rachmana. Even though it's mitzvah related, the pasuk is saying tishbos, thou shalt refrain. If that be the case, then the ktsira also one would have to refrain from on Shabbos. The ktsira of the Omer. Amale, so Rava answers. Notice, once again, we have Rava number one. As we saw in the first lesson, there will be a second explanation of Rava a few lines later. So Rava says, Kevan di imotza chorosh eino choresh, lav mitzvah. Since if one were to find a section of field that's already plowed, there would be no specific mitzvah to plow the field in anticipation of planting grains for the Omer there. Therefore, since in potential the harisha is can be done away with, can the actual act can be foregone by virtue of the fact that one finds an already plowed field, therefore I know that harisha is not a mitzvah. Eisve Ravina L'Rova. The same objection as we saw on Omer Aleph is raised over here. And what we've done as well with the markings, you can see that we've double underlined Ravina's name so as to draw your attention to the fact that he is the one raising the objection. Yotzo Av Hamakez Benoi Vorav Horoides Tamido Ushliach Beisdin. As far as Golos is concerned, we exclude the case of a father who kills his son accidentally. Ve'amai, why do we say that the father is excluded from Golos? Lema, why couldn't we argue Kivan de Ilu Gomir Lav Mitzvah? Since if the son were already learned, there would be no mitzvah. Hashtonami lav mitzvah. So too, father hitting the son, because under certain circumstances it would be unnecessary. Therefore, this act is considered an optional act all the time. The Gemara answers, Hosam, in the case of father hitting the son, Afagav the Gomir, even in the case that he is learned, Nami mitzvah ka'ovid. It's considered a mitzvah to chastise the son. Dechtiv Yisar bincha v'yanichecha. Hodar Omar Rava. Lav milsi v'amri. Rava says, I'm going to take a more direct approach. My taima. Why is it that Harisha is considered Rishus? Ketzira Dumya de Harisha. The Ketzira of the Pasuk that is forbidden to do on Shabbos is a Ketzira that's like the Harisha. Ma Harisha Matzachorosh and Achoresh. Just like the Harisha that's forbidden, or the nature of Harisha, is that if you find an area that's plowed, you don't have to plow. Af ktsira nami motza kotsur eno kotser. If you find something that's already harvested, the ktsira that's forbidden here is a harvest of something that if you found already harvested, you wouldn't have to harvest. Yotza ktsir ha'oimer shafilu motza kotsur mitzvah liksor ulahavi. To the exclusion of ktsir sa'omer, that even if you found grains that were already harvested, there's a special mitzvah to harvest grains for the purposes of the Omer. The E Saka Daitoch mitzvah, if you were to think that this is talking about a harvest of mitzvah, would you say Motzah Kotzer Eino Kotzer? If you found already harvested grains, you wouldn't have to harvest for the purpose of the Omer? Mitzvah Liktzor Lahavi. There's a mitzvah to harvest for the Omer and bring. Therefore, the Pasuk of Bechorosh Uvekotzir Tishbos is not talking about Ketziras HaOmer. And therefore, the Pasuk is restricting Harisha and Ketzira, but those are types of activities that if you found them already done, there would be no necessity to go ahead and do them. To the exclusion of the Ketziras HaOmer, which under all circumstances one has to do, and therefore it's permissible to be done on Shabbos. Ha'av goyla al yedei haben, v'aben goyla al yedei ha'av. A father is sent to Golos because of having inadvertently killed his son, and a son likewise goes to Golos in the event he inadvertently kills his father. V'akol goylin al yedei Yisrael. Everyone will be guilty or subject to be sent in exile for the inadvertent killing of Israel. V'Yisrael goylin al yedeihen, and a Jew can be sent to Golos through the accidental killing of those others. Chutz miger toshav, with the exception of a ger toshav, which would mean this is a person who is living amongst the Yisrael, who's accepted on himself not to engage in idolatry. But outside of that, he hasn't accepted upon himself the Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Mishnah tells us that Yisrael, if he inadvertently kills a Ger Toshav, he does not go into Golos for that. The Ger Toshav, Goyla al Yedei Ger Toshav. If one Ger Toshav kills another Ger Toshav inadvertently, he goes to Golos. Ho'av goyla ayidei haben. That's what our Mishnah said. Vo'amris, but we said previously, yotzo ho'av hamakes beno, that a father who strikes his son and kills him does not go into Golos. So there seems to be a contradiction between these two sources. So the Gemara raises a couple of attempts. De Gomir, the case of the Mishnah that says ho'av goyla ayidei haben, that's when he's already learned. Then, if the father strikes an already learned son and that causes his death, the father will go to Golos. The Gemara asks, for Amris, but didn't we say, Afagav de Gomir, even if he is learned mitzvah ka'ovit, there's still a mitzvah in chastising the son, and therefore there should be no Golos. So the Gemara answers, the case of the father hitting the son that does go to Golos is Bishulyo Denagri. He's not teaching him Torah. He's teaching him a trade. He's teaching him woodwork. The Gemara asks, well, Shulya Denagri, Chiyusahi Delamde, a father teaching his son how to work with wood is teaching him a parnosa. That's Chiyusahu, it's his parnosa. And a father teaching a parnosa, a means of income for his son, is considered a mitzvah. And therefore, there should be no golos. So the Gemara says, the case is the gomir umnusa achriti. The son already has another means of earning a living. And therefore, if the father strikes his son in the course of teaching him an additional form of parnosa, so this is not considered a mitzvah. And therefore, the father, as the Mishnah said, Ha'av goyle al yedei haben. If the father, in the course of teaching him a second trade, he would then be subject to golos if he kills his son in the course of this educational process. Vaben goyle al yedei ha'av viromini. We raise a contradiction from the case of we have a pasuk make nefesh. This is behore, someone who kills inadvertently. Prat lemake oviv seems to exclude a son that strikes his father. Rashi says prat lemake oviv shelo chayev golos. There is no, should be no chiyuv golos elo lemisha ka'osoi tluy benefesh sheinu chayev alav elim kein horgo. When is there golos? It's for that type of individual that is chayev, a capital offense, only in the case that he kills the victim. Yotza make oviv shu chayev olav misa b'chabura b'yama. To the exclusion of a son hitting his father, that there's a capital offense even without killing the father, by merely inflicting a chabur, an injury, a bruise to the father, there is a capital offense. And the Havamina right now, from this source that says Make Nefesh is Prat Lamak Oviv, is coming to exclude a son from going to Golos, even in the case that he does kill his father. We have to resolve this contradiction. On the one hand, we see that a son does go to Golos for killing his father. On the other hand, we have this source that says Prat Lamake Oviv. We have on the side of our Gemara Nose Mivneh, we notice a triangle form. Shnei Gishos, two approaches, Liyashev Stiro Binyan Aben Shorag Es Oviv Bishogeg. Two approaches to resolve the contradiction concerning this matter of son killing a father Bishogeg, inadvertently. Omar Rav Kahana, Lokasha. Ha Rabbi Shimon, V'ha Rabbanon. The brisa that says the son is not goyla al yedei aviv, that's according to Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah that says that a ben is goyla al yedei aviv, that's according to the Rabbanon. And the Gemara explains. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let us work with a certain basic assumption that when murdering someone, there is also the infliction of a bruise. There's also some kind of blood flow that takes place immediately prior to the victim's expiration. The penalty for make oviv, for inflicting a bruise on one's father, is the penalty of chenek, of strangulation. With that basic knowledge in place, let's continue in the Gemara. The Reb Shimon de Omar Chenek Chomor Misayef. According to Reb Shimon, that holds, one who kills his father is really guilty of Chenek, because, as we said, in the act of murder, a bruise is inflicted. And Reb Shimon holds that Chenek is a more severe form of execution than Sayef, being executed by the sword. In general, murder carries with it a sayef penalty, being executed, the perpetrator executed by killing, by being killed by the sword. The concept of ir mikla is associated with murder, not with inflicting bruise on parents. The whole realm of ir mikla, being that it's related to murder, and murder is punished when done, bemaze it, is punished by the sword. We say as follows, Shigigas Saif Nitna Lechapora, inadvertent commission of a Saif type penalty, a penalty that if done premeditated would have resulted in execution by Saif, by the sword. So Shigigas Saif, the Shogig, the inadvertent commission, is Nitna Lechapora, is given to atonement through Ir Miklat, through being sent to a city of refuge. Shigigas Chenek, the inadvertent commission of a chenek offense, chenek being more severe, lo nitna lechapora, doesn't have atonement for that. In other words, no ir miklat for killing one's father. As we said before, the killing of one's father involves inflicting a chabura, and part of the chabura penalty for chabura is chenek. The Rabbanon, however, the Amri Saif Chomor Mechenek, according to the Rabbanon, that Saif is more severe than Chenek. Horeg Oviv B'Shogeg Shigigas Saif Hu, killing one's father inadvertently carries with it a Saif penalty, V'Shigigas Saif Nitna L'Chapora, and the inadvertent form of Saif is given to Kapora, the Ir Miklat. Rava Omar. Rava says the Brisa that was cited a few lines up of Make Nefesh Prat the Make Oviv, that is also according to the Rabbanan. Not like we thought, not like Rav Kana presented the Brisa being Lefi Rav Shimon. So Rava offers his interpretation of the Brisa, and you can see we have a frame, but a dashed frame around this phrase, because it's Rava paraphrasing what the source said. Prat le'oise chabura be'aviv b'shogeg. In other words, when the pasuk says Make Nefesh, that Make Nefesh goes into Ir Miklat, that does, but not someone who inflicts an injury b'shogeg on his father. Would you have thought otherwise? Well, Sa'akadai techamino kevan de b'mezid bar katlahu, since one who inflicts an injury on one's father premeditated, with intention, he is subject to execution. B'shogeg nami ligli, I might have thought that the inadvertent form of that same act should deserve golus. Komash malon, that's what the source tells us, that no golus for that. Hakol geulin al yedei Yisrael v'chulei. Hakol geulin al yedei Yisrael. The expression hakol lasuemai says that everyone is gola for killing a Jew. Who is this? Who is being included in this sweeping phrase of hakol? Answer: lasuye eved v'kusi. That if an eved or a kusi kills a Jew inadvertently, he goes to golus. Tanina lahadat ranabonan. We have a. Our Mishnah supports that which is taught in the following source, following Brisa. Eved v'kusi goyle v'loike al yedei Yisrael. That's what we just interpreted of hakol goyle al yedei Yisrael. Is we see that right over here. That if, and we asked, who does it come to include? And we said it comes to include an eved and a kusi. Yisrael geula veloike ayade kusi veved, and likewise, a Jew who inadvertently kills a kusi veved, he also goes to golus. Bishlomo eved vekusi geula ayade Yisrael veloike. This particular point, the resha, the aleph case of the source, this I can understand. And we explain goyle. We said eved akusi goyle if they kill Israel, that's goyle the katle, he killed him b'shogeg. Veloke, what about malchus? What does that mean? What does it mean that eved akusi will get malchus when he malchus for doing something to a Jew? So he says veloke delakye. Loke means he gets Malkus for having cursed the Jew. That I understand. The ratio is understandable. The ratio that said that there's Goyle and Veloke. We explained both of them. Goyle because it was inadvertent killing, and Loke because he cursed. El Yisrael, Goyle Veloke Ade Kusi. This I don't understand. Bishlamo Goyle, I can understand the need for Golas to Katle. He killed him inadvertently. El Loke Amai. But Loki, getting Malkus, what's the Malkus for? The Latye, because the Jew cursed the Kusi, for example. The curse doesn't take hold, though. Let's go over this point again. Ela Loike Amai, the Latye. Are you going to say that there's Malkus for the Jew having cursed the Kusi? But there's nothing inherently wrong with that type of curse, because the Pasuk teaches, V'nosi Ba'am Cholosor. Literally, the Nosi, the leader, Ba'amcha, of your nation, you shall not curse. And we darshan the word Ba'amcha as follows, Ba'oise Maise Amcha, when he behaves according to the Torah. But the Kusi doesn't behave according to the Torah. He's not Oise Maise Amcha. Therefore, if a Jew curses the Kusi, there should be no Malkus. Therefore, the question is, how do we understand the seifa of this source that said Yisrael goyle v'loike ayidei kusi v'eved? What does it mean that Yisrael is loike ayidei the kusi? Elo Omar of Acha Bar Yankiv. We have a new geometric form, this diamond with the colored in tip, and on the side, the mivne, we have shnei tshuvos la'sheila, two answers to the question, lama Yisrael loike ayidei kusi. So we have two answers for that. Why does a Yisrael, does a Jew get Malkus through having done something to a Kusi? So Rav Acha Bar Yankov says, Kegoin Sheheid Boi Vahuzam. The Yisrael said Edu, said testimony concerning the Kusi, and he's, as a result of that, he's Chayev Malkus. In other words, the Jew had said about the Kusi that he's Chayev Malkus, that the Kusi deserves Malkus, and then the Jew was found to be an Eid Zomim. And what do we say? We say Kasher Zomam. They get what they tried to give to the victim. If he tried to give Malkus to the Kusi, he instead will get Malkus. The Gemara asks a question. In the source that we're dealing with, we mention not only Kusi, we also mention an Eved. How are you going to thread in Eved to this particular teaching? The Kavosei Gabi Eved. The parallel by Eved would have to be then Sheheid Bo Vehuzam. That the Eved said testimony, and the case of Eved, let's say, Loike Ayidei Yisrael, would have to be that the Eved said testimony that the Jew was high of Malkus and then was found to be a Zomain, so the Eved would get what he tried to do and he would himself get Malkus. But there's a catch. Eved bar Edus who is a slave, someone capable of saying testimony. He's not one of those that are kosher for saying testimony. So we have to come up with a new explanation of this source other than what Rav Acha Bar Yankov teaches, because following his prescription, we're not going to be able to account for the Eved in this picture. Ela Omar of Acha Brei Dravika Hocha B'may Askinon. The case of Yisrael getting Malkus over the Kusi is Kegoin Shiko Hako She'ein Bo Shava Pruta. The Jew inflicted an injury on the Kusi that had a value, the fine for the injury being less than a pruta. The Omer of Ami, Omer of Yochanan, he ko akol she'en bo sheva pruta. If the injury was an injury that devalues him by less than a pruta, loike, there is malchus given, because we can't, there's no financial restitution to be made, because the value of the injury is less than a pruta. And we also don't make a comparison between the topics of Hakol to Klola, which means that even though Klola is not binding, is not forbidden when you're dealing with a Kusi, nevertheless, hitting will be binding when dealing with a Kusi, if one hits a Kusi. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.